Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future. Living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow line dance song.
Hey, Sign Guy Nation, welcome to the show on another Friday afternoon. Sign Guy with you as normal. Real fast before we jump into it with our guest, if you are looking for some pro wrestling in the next few days, I have some notes for you. Tonight, WCWO in the Outlaw Arena in Indianapolis, Indiana, 1151 South Kentucky Avenue. BCW in Waukesha, Wisconsin. Tomorrow night, Paradigm Pro Wrestling in Indianapolis, Indiana. POWW in Wooddale, Illinois. PAPW in East Haven, Connecticut. FWF in Warsaw, Indiana. TCW in Monticello, Kentucky. POW in Eugene, Oregon. And Metal Mania in Portland, Oregon tomorrow night. And Sunday, don't forget, you can find me at Paulcade in Jeffersonville, Indiana at the arena. Peak Sports Entertainment in Everett, Washington. NVW in Danville, Illinois. And PPW happening in Flemington, New Jersey on Sunday. So if you have wrestling near you, go support your local independents. Without any further ado, I want to welcome our guest back to the show. It has been a while, but Taylor Jury, thank you very much for being here and taking time out of your day to join us.
Yeah, no problem. It's my pleasure.
Well, it's been a while since you have been here, and in that time, you went from one side of the curtain where you were primarily a fan of professional wrestling to going into the other side of the curtain, and you got into the promotional end of pro wrestling, and now you've sort of stepped back across to the other side where you are more of a spectator of the sport. What, in your estimation, has changed as far as your involvement and association with pro wrestling since we last talked?
In retrospect of everything, like, you see, as a fan, you don't see as much of, like, the putting together of the show as far as, like, the writing end of it, having to build storylines, having to make sure your talent's there, make sure that everybody is on the same page when it comes to timing and spots and, like, how often, like, I don't know. There was a lot to it that I hadn't seen before. And luckily the other three owners that were in on the company with me had either trained in wrestling or they had, like, family members that were in it. So they knew about that and they explained it more to me. I take a different outlook of going to shows now, not being behind the curtain and going as a fan and, like, supporting, like, the wrestlers that I know now through running Timber Pro and helping out with it. I have more fun with it now because I know, like, what I can say and what I shouldn't say to them as they're performing, try to rile them up a little bit and make it a little more hectic and have fun with it. There's a lot of things that growing up as a wrestling fan, I always kind of questioned why they did those things. And now that I've been on the other side of it, behind stage and back behind the curtain with the talent, I understand it a little more. And it didn't take very long because I've been a pro wrestling fan for so long that it, like, I kind of had an idea of why they did it, and what was going on.
When you look back at your time as a promoter, do you think that it gave you a better appreciation of professional wrestling, or do you think that it may have hurt your ability to experience and enjoy wrestling as a fan, or do you think that it may have just heightened your ability to enjoy it, knowing what goes into it?
So as far as, like, the aspect of what you're asking about, like, it made me realize, like, how much more I enjoy it now, as far as knowing, like, what goes into it to put a show on, and how much the talent actually trains to be as good as they are, especially if you have, like, the top-tier talent, especially in the independents. You can kind of tell the guys that work a lot harder than the other ones, or that put more time in the gym. And it made me appreciate more as far as what they do to their bodies and to entertain other people. Because a lot of the indie wrestlers, they don't, like, most of them have regular jobs during the week. And then they come out and they train after they get off work, and then they do shows on the weekends. So, like, it made me respect them a lot more. I've always had respect for them, just because I know that it takes a lot of work, and it's not easy. You know, you have to know how to take bumps the right way. You have to know how to run the ropes. You have to know what you're doing. You can't just go in there and think, oh, I'm going to do this, you know. I know you've been around for quite a while too, and, like, just talking to you when I've seen you at shows, or even you when I was with TPW, you helped us run our first show as a ref. So there was a lot of things that I learned during that time, and I have a much higher respect level for the independent wrestlers, especially the ones that work really hard and are, like, trying to get to that next level. I'm always, you know, I'm always talking to certain guys and being like, hey, man, just keep working hard. You're getting there. It just takes time. Don't ever doubt yourself. Don't let yourself down. Like, you're not letting yourself down. If you're doing what you're doing for a reason, there's a reason why you want to do this, and you're working hard and you're showing improvements. Yeah, I have a lot of respect for a lot of the wrestlers, even some of the older talented guys, like the veteran guys that are, like, my age or a little bit older than me that are still wrestling. It just shows that they're wanting to teach the younger generations and keep up with, like, the newer styles as well, because I know wrestling's starting to evolve into a whole nother thing, and it's going to start getting pretty wild with how athletic a lot of these independent guys are, even the ones that are in the big rosters, like WWE and AEW and stuff. They're getting more athletic, and they're a little more risky on certain things.
And you have been around long enough to remember a lot of the now defunct professional wrestling organizations in and around Washington. When you were looking to get into promoting yourself, did you look at things through the eyes of someone that have watched all of those companies as far as what you thought may and may not work, or talents that you may or may not want to use? Or did you go in relying mainly on your partners to help you with that aspect?
So, like, my whole journey started when I was real young. My cousins actually introduced me to pro wrestling at a very young age. My cousin Brad and my cousin Justin, JJ, were both.
Tom?
Oh, we lost Taylor. Give us one moment here. Hopefully he'll call right back. We'll give him a minute, and don't forget, while we wait, this Sunday I will be at Paulcade number 5 in Jeffersonville, Indiana at the arena. And if you're in the Kentucky area, make sure you come out and support raising money for puppy dogs in the southern Indiana area. You will be out of there in plenty of time to catch AEW's Dynasty pay-per-view if you plan to watch that. So you can come over, watch some live wrestling, support a good cause, and then immediately go right back into watching AEW on television, spend a whole day watching wrestling. What a great time that will be. But let me see if I can get Taylor back here real quick. Give us one moment. Up that. Let me see if I can get a message out to him. One moment, ladies and gentlemen. Live on the air here. Sometimes these things happen. All right. Waiting to see if he will call us right back. Don't forget, also, this week, you can still buy tickets to go to next Saturday's Combat Pro Wrestling Show in Lynnwood at Club Hectic. Tickets are on sale for that. Also, a big congratulations to the brand new Northwest Pro Heavyweight Champion, Brian Kendrick, coming home to Washington State to pick up his first ever championship at Northwest Pro. He will be back in June to defend that title. So if you are anywhere near the Vaughan, Washington area in June, you want to make plans to come out and see Brian Kendrick defending that title. All right, still waiting on Taylor. One moment here. I will try one more time to give him a call. All right. Here we go. We might be in business. Hey, Taylor, we lost you there. Oh,
sorry about that.
No
Who knows
problem.
How long I was talking? I didn't even realize.
You were talking about kind of how you did or did not kind of go on your old wrestling promotions experience.
Oh, okay. So, like, the start of, like, the Ole Olsen and Buddy Wayne era. Like, when I was a kid, I used to go to their shows, and they used to do them at the armories and some of the junior highs or whatever. Any building that they could run shows in, they would run shows. And, like, I to this day, I have my own, like, man cave office, and God rest his soul, Ole Olsen. As a kid, I looked up to him and Buddy Wayne. And, like, I still have Ole's picture on the wall. It's signed to me. So that means a lot to me. And as I got older, I wanted to be a pro wrestler. But I had some other stuff. Like, my first love was baseball. Growing up in a baseball-driven family. I liked multiple sports. I played football as well. But as far as that goes, like, I would always have dream matches built up in my head. And, like, seeing like independent wrestling out here was big for me because I grew up as a pro wrestling fan, and my cousins really got me into it at an early age, which was cool because I can't thank them enough for just wrestling with me on the floor or in the bedrooms and being slammed off onto the beds and stuff. And just they tell you not to do it, obviously, but we all know as wrestling fans that there are people that do that kind of stuff. But that's where it kind of started for me, going to those shows and seeing WWF, which is WWE now because of the legal stuff. But that and WCW shows, you know, those hardly ever came out to Washington. So our independent scene out here during that time was pretty much what we had. It was fun going out there. I mean, I saw Lightning Kid, and then I saw Ole, I saw Buddy. I also saw, who else did I see? Oh, Jason the Terrible. I don't know if he was, the only reason why I remember him is because he freaked me out when I was a little kid. But that's just because he had a Jason mask and I was little at the time. But as far as it goes forward, I also attended some of the Pinnacle shows before they shut Pinnacle down. That was fun. I was still in high school and chasing the baseball dream. But I always had that love for wrestling in the back of my head. And I was thinking, man, I could, with my amateur wrestling stuff, I could use it in this pro wrestling industry somehow. And I never really followed my pro wrestling dream till I got later on, when we started TPW. But, there was Pinnacle. I saw Natty. I saw TJ. I saw Harry. There was probably some other people that I saw that are still, a lot of them are still out in this area. But, and then you skip a few years down the road, I got back into wrestling pretty big again, and I went to a Defy show, and I was like, this is where it's at. Like, I want to be a part of something. I love going to these shows. I love the atmosphere. I love the vibe. Like, I want in on something like this and see where we can go with it and see how much fun this could be, as far as the promoting side of it and see the other side of it, not just the show, but what goes into it. And then, I met some pretty cool guys, actually cool wrestlers along the way going to Defy shows. Like, I've had conversations with Swerve, and Jeff Cobb and, Brody King. Like, I talked to a lot of these guys just to pick their brains a little bit about the industry and kind of things that go into it and how they – things that they've picked up along the ways as wrestlers, not just as going out and doing shows. And it really made my mind start working. I mean, there's other guys like Drexel and some other guys that I've talked to as well at shows, and – it made me appreciate them that much more, and the things that they put into it, the things that they sacrifice for our entertainment and for us as promoters to be able to hire them and bring them in to do work. It brings a whole new appreciation for it. And it was something that caught my eye. And then I started going to, once I found out that Without a Cause was running shows, and Dave, Chris, Max, I think Chase James was part of it. I think Aubrey Edwards was a part of it at the very beginning. Just kind of like being around those shows, it was like, man, we really got something going here in this state that could be really big. And the funny thing is we're talking about like me being a part of the wrestling business. And for the short time that I did do it, it reconnected me with a guy I went to high school with, Josh Russell, which is one of the other guys that was a partial owner of TPW. And at one of the Without a Cause shows, we ran into each other and we started talking. I wasn't like, we would cross paths during high school and like we played sports together growing up. But, and I didn't, at the time when we were at that age, I didn't know that he had the same passion and love for wrestling as I did. So we didn't really click at the same levels. So we never really had a friendship other than playing sports together. And then when we saw each other Without a Cause, we kind of started talking again. And then a couple of years go by, just going to shows and seeing him at Defy and seeing him at Without a Cause shows and meeting some of these other wrestlers that are now like up there in AEW, or like, I think there's a WWE guy occasionally here and there, meeting some of those guys and talking to them and talking to Josh. He came out, and was like, hey, this was back in, I have to say it's probably 2019 or 2020. It was during the COVID stuff or shortly before the COVID hit real hard. He messaged me one day and he's like, hey, what do you think about starting another Washington based, independent show? And I was like, I could see this happening. I was like, what are your ideas on this? Where are we going with this? Like, what do we want it to be a family show? Do we want it to be more kind of the edgy shows where it's a lot can happen? And he was like, no, I want it family based. And then I started talking to him more and I was like, yeah, let's do the family based, like, cause we could do a lot with family based stuff and still make it kind of, we could still have matches that are driven towards like the adult, not like adult entertainment, but like that the adults can enjoy as well. Thing was, is we're going to put on a good wrestling show. And then he introduced me to the other two owners, Cody and Steve. And then that's when we started getting the ball rolling as far as like, who are we going to bring in? What's our first show going to look like? Where are we going to do our first show? Those things were all brought into consideration. And it was hard at first because we were trying to think of places we could do shows. We wanted to do shows where like it was, you could do shows that people haven't been exposed so much to pro wrestling or independent wrestling at the time. Cause Everett had Without a Cause, Seattle had Defy. And then, like up in the Bellingham area, there was 5CCC there was a lot of companies that were in the areas that we were in. So we kind of struggled with that as well. Where do we run shows? As far as stuff goes with where we decide to run shows, maybe we could have picked a better location. But We had support from the whole community in the area that we ended up running, which was Startup, which is just outside of Monroe. Like, it's a little tiny place, and like I couldn't have asked for anything better. I mean, we had some good shows out there. We also brought in, I think it was Sultan's video productions from their high school. They ran a lot of our video and editing and all that stuff for our shows. So that was great too, because it got kids experience that normally wouldn't get to experience pro wrestling that way, and how things worked and camera angles and different things we could do with them. So there was a lot of stuff that went into it. And like, it got my mind thinking as when I was younger about, this is really a dream come true. I'm getting to like help somebody that's become a really good friend that I knew years ago plan shows and like try to figure out how we were going to do those things. And it's just bizarre and fun that I got to live that dream out. I got to play baseball at a high level, so I lived one of my dreams out. And then, like, I got to, you know, do the, like, as you know, the scheduling, and got to do promoting for a company that I never thought I would ever do. And it just happened to, it all meshed together because of the love of wrestling and, like, coming cross paths with a friend that I hadn't seen in years at a show. And it was just an idea at the time. And it became something pretty popular for us. Startup was a good place for us. Yes, it was kind of far away. And sometimes it was kind of hard to get talent out there and get them kind of situated. But as far as those things, it was great for the community out there. Overall, like, we decided at, like, so they decided that I actually stepped away from the company after I was probably close to a year in, and then I stepped away from the company because we had some stuff and differences, and they asked me to step away, so I stepped away. But they decided Startup wasn't the greatest place, and I knew that we were going to outgrow that, and we were going to have to move to a new location and try to run shows somewhere else that we'd get more attendance, and it would be easier for us to get attendance to come in. But yeah, like, I always kind of had it. I had a feeling that I was going to do something pro wrestling related somewhere in my life, somewhere along the time. And it just happened to be promoting and running a business with those other three guys.
One of the things I've heard many, many times that I have never agreed with is most people will say that Washington was a black hole for wrestling in the late 90s. 2000s, mid-2000s, you name a time frame, people usually claim that. But when you look back at the history of pro wrestling, you had Pinnacle, like you talked about, that had Davey Richards, Jack Evans, the Stampede Bulldogs, Natalya Neidhart, Craig Johnson, who had been with Global on ESPN, was there as a commissioner. You had so many great talents that were very well known in the Pacific Northwest at the time that started with Pinnacle. And you had ICW that had Tim Flowers and The Chef and Randy Taylor and Richie Magnet and a lot of guys that were well known in all the Pacific Northwest still going at that time. And then in the 2000s, there were several great promotions, and you had people like Becky Lynch that was in the Northwest. You had people like Harry Smith and TJ Wilson at multiple promotions until they got signed. What did you think of the talents coming through the Northwest that were getting picked up at the national level? And did you also hear people saying how that the Northwest was a black hole of wrestling when we had all of these talents making it out of the Northwest?
So, like, I agree with you on the whole thing with people saying that the Northwest is a black hole for wrestling. I don't think they realize how many talented, good pro wrestlers at the indie level And at that next level, when you get into the national stuff like AEW and WWE and some and Ring of Honor, some of these bigger promotions, even Ring of Honor is kind of like, obviously they consider it a smaller promotion, but you don't realize how many of those wrestlers have wrestled in the Pacific Northwest, or how many of them have started in the Pacific Northwest. Like you said, you know, you had Smith, you had Wilson, you had Neidhart, you had, like, I went to Pinnacle shows. I think Brian Kendrick even wrestled on Pinnacle shows. I think he trained with Pinnacle at one time. But, like, to say that you're going to cancel out, like, kind of make it like, oh, there's a black hole, there's a void where there's nobody coming out of that area. There's people here. There's always been talent here. I actually just read a book not too long ago about wrestling in the Pacific Northwest, or the Pacific Northwest older territory days. And Matt Farmer from Defy actually had some input on that book as well, and had some, he told guys where to find information, or the author where to find information about it. But I agree with you. The talent that came through here in the early, like even the late 90s, like going into the 2000s, it was a rich talent. Like it was heavy. Like you had, you know, TJ and Harry, like they come from wrestling background. Well, TJ through the family came in pretty heavy, and he was good. Like I remember watching him. I know Natalia got signed, and I watched one of her last matches at Pinnacle at the Armory in Everett. And I remember TJ had a bring your own weapons match that same night. And he followed shortly after. WWE picked him up shortly after with Harry, and they both went on to become the Hart Dynasty with Natalia. But I remember going and watching those shows and being like, why are these guys not on the main cards? Why are these guys not where they should be? And like it goes into even now. I mean, we'll probably talk about it because we still have some time, but like this area is loaded with talent. I mean, it's crazy how many good wrestlers there are. Even the veteran guys that are out here that are still running the indie scenes out here, like, I don't know, like, it's, you have guys that could have possibly been wrestling on bigger shows for all I know, because I've watched Caden Matthews ran TCW. I know that you'd seen numerous shows there, because I was there and you were there. He wrestled as an extra at the WWE, and it was like he had guys like Christopher Ryzik. He's still wrestling. I actually got to know him a little bit better as I became a promoter. I didn't know him so well in the early years, as far as going and going to like the TCW shows, because those were around that 2000. I think it was like 2008, 2009, 2010, somewhere around there. I remember going to those shows and being like, why are some of these guys not at a higher level? I don't know if it was because they didn't think they were good enough or their size. But Ryzik, he's probably one of the best heels in the Pacific Northwest, and he can play both sides of it. And then you had Diamond James, like, some of those guys, like, it blows my mind that those guys got overlooked. And then, like, it's just, like, Ethan HD, I know he's been around for a while, too, and he's, you know, he was talented. He still is talented. It's just, there was a lot of people that should have been, that got overlooked because of the whole black hole thing. Oh, well, it's the Pacific Northwest. It's the top left corner. No, there's nobody out there. And it just, it gets overlooked. And I think it's because a lot of the big name promotions were either in the South or the Northeast. And I don't understand it, to tell you the truth. I don't understand why people mark it as a black hole. There's so many good, talented wrestlers, even in the 80s, 70s and 80s. There was a lot of good people and a lot of good wrestlers that were on that national level. And I don't know if people just didn't understand that they were from the Pacific Northwest or what. You might have a better answer for it, but I couldn't tell you.
I'm in the same boat as you. I never did understand it when you had guys like Brian Danielson and Becky Lynch and TJ Wilson all coming up and people saying there was no talent there. But one of the things that you probably noticed when you got into promoting, when you're watching wrestling, a lot of time when injuries happen and they're an inevitable part of the business, looking at those from the perspective of a fan versus the perspective of a performer versus the perspective of a promoter are very different, even though it's the same injury happening. When you were promoting, did you find yourself feeling differently if someone were to get hurt on a show?
Yeah, totally. Because you're there wishing, like, you're there to put on a good show and everybody to be safe. And you don't, that's the last thing you want is somebody to get hurt on your show or even if it's minor injuries, you know, you as a promoter and somebody running a show, you become more in tune with them as a relationship between wrestler and promoter. Or at least this is how I feel about it. When I was promoting, I tried to get to know them on a different level as just, we're humans, we're people, we're going to be close. Like, I want to be close to you. I want you to be able to come and talk to me. And if you're hurt, let me know. I remember we had our, I think it was our second or third show. We had a spot where at the time, Chris Brady, he's becoming a bigger name out here and in Oregon. He's had a couple of matches on the East Coast and in some other states. But I remember we had a spot with him and who was it? Oh, Caden Cassidy, where he was supposed to do a dive to the outside and something happened. They didn't get their judging right, like the judgment of how far he was going to dive out. Something happened and Chris overshot Caden by just a little bit, and he hit him a certain way and fell off of him and ended up breaking his foot during a match. And that's scary as a promoter when you see a guy take a fall to the outside like that and know that something isn't right. The first thing in my head was go check on him. But at the same time, I knew I had to have the boundaries for the show wise to make it, if he's really hurt, he'll know, we'll send it home, or the ref will know, hey, this, we need to hurry this up or something, like, cause something's not right during this match. So yeah, it definitely has a different feel to it as a promoter comparison to a fan. I always hated seeing people get hurt during shows, but you also have, there's pro wrestling has a fine line between somebody that's actually hurt and somebody that's playing it as like, yes, this is part of the storyline and it's going to work. But that's the last thing you want is somebody to get actually hurt on one of your shows. That was always my thing. Like I would help run security and crowd control and stuff at our shows. And sometimes like the fans won't move when there's going to be like a spot where there's going to be a dive. And I've had to like catch the wrestlers from like hitting fans, and like me, that doesn't bother me any because I've played high level sports my whole life. So it's getting into the actual action and stopping somebody from hitting somebody that isn't part of it or shouldn't, it's in the wrong spot and could potentially get hurt or hurt the talent. That was me just being an owner that cared and that wanted to protect my talent from getting hurt or from getting or hurting fans by accident. That's the last thing you want. But yeah, as far as injuries go, it's a lot scarier as a promoter, because you get to know some of these wrestlers on a different level, because you know them inside the ring and you know them behind the scenes. And it is scary, especially when it's somebody like, it doesn't matter who it is, but if you know the person really well or you have a good friendship with them, it makes it even scarier, because it could affect their family and their family's well-being as far as, are they going to be able to pay bills? Because if the person's hurt bad enough, they're not going to be able to do their regular day-to-day job, their 9-to-5. And it does become scary.
One of the big things that happen in our industry that has the potential to reverberate down to every level of the wrestling business is the Vince McMahon scandal. Obviously, it affected WWE deeply, and I'm sure in the coming months when things shake out legally, there will be ramifications and more changes in that company. But looking at the industry from someone that's not only been a fan for their whole life, but as someone that dabbled in promoting wrestling, what do you think the fallout will be going forward to the entire industry, if you think there is one?
So, like, as far as, like, stuff like that goes, it, like, I've heard horrific stories about, like, promotions going under because of things that have happened that are like, they're similar situations, or like something's happened where somebody's abused the power of being an owner or a promoter. As far as like the Vince McMahon stuff, I think WWE, I think it will hold over them. It'll shadow over them for a little while. And I think they were kind of in a weird place during his last few years as owner, or as like the main person in charge. But I think they'll recover from it. Far as like as independent promotions go, I think there's a lot of smaller indie shows that some of those people use that stuff to their power to get what they want. And I find that very, very unprofessional and very like wrong, especially with being that I have the Christian belief system, and like I am a Christian. So it's like some of the stuff I see that happens, it's like, this isn't okay for this to be happening. And I know that it happens. It happens in TV as well, or any kind of entertainment business, even sports, high level sport that happens. And it sucks because it tarnishes that company, or it even tarnishes wrestling in whole. Like And I've noticed, because I'm a part of a lot of the fan pages and stuff, and I've noticed people are like, oh, well, Vince McMahon this and Vince McMahon that. I'm like, yeah, but you also got to realize he's not a part of that anymore. They're going down another path. They're trying to make the show better and make it on a different level than what it was when he left. And they're trying to kind of go away from his ways of what he would do, especially with, what is it, TKO that owns them now, or they own majority, with them owning UFC and what and the other industries that they own, like the fight industry, they own a lot of stuff going on in there. So I think the show is going to go down a different path, and you're going to see a lot more, like, it's going to kind of go back towards, like, the ruthless aggression kind of it's not going to be, like, as edgy as Attitude, I don't think, but it's going to kind of go back towards that athletic, we're here to prove a point kind of stuff. And they're going to try to go away from all the lawsuits and stuff. And it sucks because I know that there's a lot of people that get caught up in the lawsuits of what happens in pro wrestling. And the industry has had some pretty rough things happen. And some people are innocent people that get caught up in it. And there's a couple of people that I know, or at least one that I know, that got caught up in something that it really messed him up. And I feel bad. And, like, the guy's a super good guy, too. And it's hard to see people have to go through that. And I don't want it to tarnish wrestling in any way. And it's sad that people abuse the power of being an owner or having lots of money, especially at that level. And you don't know how much of it's actually, like, true or what's going on with the whole situation, because you only see what the media puts out there. It's hard to say on some of it.
I agree. It's going to be a very interesting next year or two for sure as that continues to evolve and take shape. Well, we're down to the last few minutes of the show, and I want to make sure that you have ample time if there is anything you would like to say in conclusion, and if you want to plug and promote absolutely anything at all, floor is yours.
Yeah. So, like, I just wanted to throw it out there that, you know, it's the businesses are going to start taking off, and Peak Sports, or it's actually Peak Entertainment, they are running an amazing show right now. They had a charity show was their first show. It was a free show. It was for Toys for Kids or Toys for Tots, I believe. You brought a donation. Dave, Max, and Chris, Chris Ross and Dave Turner and Max, they've all ran that ship real tight now that they restarted it. It's very school driven. So it's done by all the trainees at the dojos, and it's amazing just to see what they're doing, because they're trying to keep it as much Pacific Northwest as possible with new talent coming in. I just want to plug, like, that there are a lot of good incoming wrestlers going to come out of this area. Guys like Chris Brady, Rashad Tyson, you got Sebastian Wolf, which is a Canadian guy. He's killing it right now. He just had a match with Matt Cardona, like, I think last month or the month before. And I guess it's just, I hope the best for everybody that's running shows. I know TPW is kind of out of commission right now. I was talking to Josh, and there's a potential that it could be starting back up. We just don't have an actual time frame when that would be. There's a lot of things going on that need to be taken care of, and as far as that goes. But I just I can't explain how many good talented wrestlers there are that I would like to plug, but I can't even think of all of them. I mean, it's crazy the talent we have out here. And then there's a couple other shows too, like CPW runs shows out in Lynnwood. I'm not so like, I try to only go to like one show, maybe two shows. So it's, and with my family and how busy my schedule is, it makes it kind of hard to go to shows, but I make time to go to at least the peak shows. But I know CPW has been running shows too. They took about a 5 or 7 year break. So they're trying to get back into the swing of things. They have a couple of people, Rashad Tyson wrestles for them, but, so does, what is it? There's a couple others that wrestle for them that I can't think of right off the top of my head, but they're going to have pretty decent careers, especially if they get in with the right people, and start training more. But yeah, I appreciate being on the show. And like I said, my cousins really got me into pro wrestling. So I couldn't really do a whole lot of it without them. And thanks to Brad and Justin, for getting me into it and really like showing me that, hey, this is something that can be really fun. I remember we used to watch one of their neighbors would buy every pay-per-view and tape it. So it was like a library of just go over to their house and pull VHSs out of this library. It was crazy and fun, but yeah, I can't explain how much the Pacific Northwest is blowing up for wrestling right now. I think, what is it? Reactive over in Spokane. That one's run pretty well too. Chase James is a good guy. They're doing big things as well. Same with all the Oregon promotions. They're doing really well right now. God's blessed me with the honors of actually getting to know some of these people and being a promoter and seeing both sides of it as a fan and a promoter. So I don't know. It's just fun to know what's going on and being back a part of it. I took a little hiatus away from it after getting being asked to step away from TPW because I felt like it wasn't my place at the time. So I kind of stepped away from it, took some time out. And then when I felt right, I came back and like couldn't have asked for any better situation. I went to Peaks. First, like their charity show, and it like was accepted by all the wrestlers that I had worked with, and like they were telling me that they were glad that they saw me and stuff. So I'm just grateful for that. But yeah, and it was great being able to be back on and talk about wrestling and some of the stuff that's gone on out here in this area over the years.
Taylor, as always, it has been a pleasure having you on the show, and I'm sure our paths will cross at some point in the not-too-distant future, and we will definitely get you back on here at some point.
Yeah, well, and if you guys want to, like, do multiple people, like, I know you have, I actually used to train with his son, but, there's a lot of people out here that I know would be willing to get on and just talk. I might be able to bring some talent in as an interview as well, if I can get them to work schedules or something, but that would be fun.
Absolutely. We will definitely work on getting you back up on here, and I'm sure I'll see it as near us at some point soon.
Yeah. And like I said, our shows are starting to pop back up again. So it's going to be a fun time. And if anybody is looking for a show out in Washington, Peak Entertainment has a show this weekend on Sunday. And I believe bell time is at 4. So if you love pro wrestling and you've never seen a show and you want to go out, that's a great place to start.
Absolutely. Well, fans, definitely, if you see Taylor at a show, go up, say hello, look up some of the old matches in Pacific Northwest history on the YouTubes. Like Taylor and I were saying, there was a lot of really, really great talent that did not necessarily get all the credit that they should have being based in the Pacific Northwest, but they were very, very talented, so take a look at that. We will be back with you next week. 1 week from this very day, we will have Christian Wilde as our guest. Remember, we will be off this coming Sunday because I will be at Paulcade and will be a bit busy helping out the puppy dog at Paulcade number 5 at the arena in Jeffersonville. But we'll return to you the following Sunday when we have Paris out of Russell Club. So everybody get out there, support your local independents wherever they may be. If you're anywhere in the Kentuckiana area, please come out and support Paulcade number 5 because we all enjoy doing it and we all enjoy raising some funds to help the local animal shelters. So everybody stay safe out there and we will talk to you soon.